confidence vote in the Dáil today after the Labour Party tabled a no-confidence vote on the government's policy on housing ahead of the ending of a ban on evicting people who are paying their rent from their homes from this weekend. The government has a majority of one, but some independent TDs may not vote against them. Some haven't made up their minds. Last night, TDs debated a Sinn Féin bill on extending the eviction ban to April 2024. Our reporter Aisling Maloney was listening.
I move the government's reasoned amendment, and I do welcome the opportunity to discuss this matter before the Dáil.
That's Housing Minister Dara O'Brien opening last night's debate on the Sinn Féin bill to extend the eviction ban to April 2024. However, beforehand, the government tabled what is called a reasoned amendment, meaning TDs will this evening vote on its amendment rather than a yes or no vote on the Sinn Féin bill. This is seen as an easier way for those who want to support the government to do so.
I'll suspend the House. Now, please.
In the debate, Minister O'Brien accused Sinn Féin of demonising the private rental sector, driving away landlords and reducing properties.
The Sinn Féin bill in front of us here this evening will have only one outcome. It will shrink the number of homes that are available to rent.
Labour leader Ivana Bacic said while the government's proposals in the counter motion were welcome, they were too late.
So the amendment, while much in it is clearly admirable, it again gives little comfort to those families who are now facing this cliff edge from Saturday. Really, it reads to me as if it is again an attempt to give cover to those TDs on the government benches, but also independents, who backed the government last week and who are feeling the pressure for doing so in their constituencies.
Social Democrats TD Cian O'Callaghan urged the Minister for Housing to take the proposal to extend the eviction ban seriously.
Smile all you want, this is deadly serious. There are people worried absolutely sick in the gut of their stomachs about what's going to happen to them. So smile it off all you want. Minister, what we need here is we need the same situation in most European countries, where people who pay their rent cannot be evicted from their home. That's what applies in most European countries.
Many TDs who spoke in the Dáil debate last night mentioned stories of constituents who will soon find themselves homeless. Independent TD for Sligo Leitrim, Marion Harkin, said the eviction ban is hitting close to Leinster House.
And Minister, in case anybody thinks this is a problem for other people, for people out there, I know somebody who works in this building who will be homeless from the 11th of April, despite months and months of searching for rental accommodation, this person has to leave Dublin. That shows homelessness can happen to anybody.
Here's Junior Minister Fine Gael's Kieran O'Donnell reiterating the government's position that extending the eviction ban would have deeper consequences for the housing market.
We believe that we've too many private renters leaving the market, and people have spoken about private renters. 9 out of 10 landlords in Ireland are small landlords. They're not the big landlords, they're small landlords. 13,500 left the market last year. That's too much to lose.
And it was Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, Eoin O'Brien, who had the last word. He used his time to say the country needed a general election.
The other thing that just beggars belief is that minister after minister comes in and tells us the plan is working, the plan is working. And yet, not just over the last 5 or 6 months, over the last 2.5 years of this government and 7 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government together, what are the facts? House prices at record highs and continuing to rise. Rents at record highs and continuing to rise. The private rental sector contracting, homelessness increasing, and you're not meeting your social affordable housing targets, targets that are too low to begin with.
Sinn Féin's Eoin O'Brien ending that report by Aisling Maloney. Our political correspondent Paul Cunningham is with us. Morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Chief whips from government and opposition have been ringing around independents over the last couple of days. No doubt political correspondents like yourself have been doing so too. What are they going to do?
I think that the government is going to win both votes. It has a majority in the Dáil of one. But they also have the Fine Gael TD Joe McHugh from Donegal, who's outside of the parliamentary party at the moment over the MICA issue, but he too will back the government. And then even when it comes to some independent TDs on the opposition benches, some of them are saying they've not made up their mind, but last week they broke for the government, so people will be looking at Michael Lowry, Sean Canny, Cathal Berry, Matt Shannon to see which way they go. It could be that what they'll do this time, Gavin, is just abstain, but I think that assists the government government and its overall goal of getting through this both confidence motion and also vote on the Sinn Féin bill.
The dishonest Micheál Martin said on the 6-1 last night that there are no deals being done with independents in respect of the no confidence motion. But how much power do independents have now, or influence do they have for the rest of this government term?
It's undoubtedly true that independents have boosted their negotiating power now that Nasa Harrigan, the Green TD, has left the parliamentary party and is now independent and on the opposition benches. If you've got such a narrow majority, the slimmest possible majority, any government is going to have to look towards the independents for support. An issue like the eviction ban just, you know, highlights just how thin that majority is. But independents are sort of looking at, not just at the government, they're also looking at the opposition. So for example, we've got the Labour Party no confidence motion being tabled, and that's on foot of lifting of the no eviction ban, but also the accusation, I guess, covers the government's entire housing policy. Some independent TDs told me last night that they didn't have confidence in Labour's message, the message that came from Labour's national conference of wanting to deliver 1 million homes over the next 10 years. One independent TD told me it's not even remotely credible. So these independent opposition TDs are looking both ways, both at what the opposition's putting forward, but also at what the government is putting forward and deciding in what way they're going to break. But it's undoubtedly true. They have more power than they did last week.
The government is likely to come under increasing pressure on its housing policy throughout the rest of their term of government, starting this weekend when the eviction ban is lifted. Whatever about the credibility of Labour's policy on housing, how much questioning has been raised about the government's own housing policy at this stage, Paul?
Well, there's a big question. I mean, even this week, there's been some grumbling on the backbenches that, on the government backbenches, the cabinet members are not taking a lead on this. But I guess they're more grumblings than a sign of significant dissent. The big issue is, how bad does it get as a result of lifting of the no-fault eviction ban? Is the opposition right? The thousands of people, there could be a tsunami of people heading onto the homelessness figures, and then the government is in a real bind really, really quickly. Or is it the case, as the government argues, that there are supports there, even though emergency accommodation is full, that local authorities are taking on additional measures and they will be able to look after people? I think that's the issue which is going to decide a lot. If it's the former and there are large numbers, then the government is going to be in big trouble, and it's going to be in big trouble real quickly.
Paul, separately, and we were talking about this at the start of both hours in the programme, that report yesterday on abuse within the Defence Forces, particularly abuse of female members of the Defence Forces. And there's a familiar ring to a lot of the reaction in terms of people's shock. We've seen reports like this about institutions within Irish society before. But tell us a bit more about the reaction to yesterday's report.
I think it was plain to see from Tánaiste Micheál Martin and the comments that he made in the aftermath of the publication of the report that he was, as he said, absolutely shocked, and that reading that report left him with a sense of disgust at what had happened. I think any person reading that report would just clearly have that there's a sense of crisis within the Defence Forces, and that even though Micheál Martin expressed confidence in the Defence Forces Chief of Staff, that there is an immense body of work which has to be conducted. I think the second thing which struck me about it is that Micheál Martin used a key word where he said that it's going to be complicated to move forward, because even though they do want to now set up a statutory inquiry as demanded by the lobbying group and Women of Honour, getting that up and running quickly is an issue. Labour wants it up and running before summer. Can he do it that quickly? Then how long is it going to run for? He says it can't run. That's the Tánaiste. He says it can't run on for years. They need to have answers now so they can implement change. But is that actually going to happen? Does the chairperson see it the same way? And then you've got the issue of people participating within the statutory inquiry. It was referenced by Nolene Blackwell earlier on in your programme, just that many people who have been the victims of sexual assault find it difficult to make complaints out of fear that A, they could be identified by the wider populace, or B, that it could be a career-defining decision for them. How is the government and the tribunal going to be able to reassure these people? It's an immense body of work, but undoubtedly, it is a crisis, and a crisis that has to be dealt with head on.
Paul Cunningham, our political correspondent, thank you for that